Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Sister Belle. Thank you, Adesua. Thank God for everyone on the line tonight. We give God glory. Father, we are so thankful for your grace that has called us to this assignment. Thank you for the desire you put in us, O God, to truly wait upon you. Father, thank you so much for the faithfulness of your people, that you've so given this passion to serve you with joy in the house of prayer. Father, thank you. We give you all the glory and honor for what you are doing and what you continue to do, for you are faithful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Tonight, you know, is so beautiful and so amazing that we live in a nation that God was able to give such a revelation of a heart of gratitude. At least the vision and the purpose is just amazing. Even though a lot of people use it for other, the purpose might be diverted, but the fact that a nation is able to dedicate a day and say we're just going to spend time to give thanks, it is just amazing. So because of this this atmosphere of the season, I just want to use this moment just to thank you all so much. You know, only God can thank you. Only God can reward your obedience. Not everybody obeys God. Not everybody really does excellently what God has called them to do. But you've been faithful. You've been so committed. You've answered and you sacrifice and you pray. This altar has been 24/7 nonstop. And those of you that come on this line during this time of teaching and stuff, been so committed. So I just, on behalf of heaven and on behalf of ASLPN and all our, every all our leaders on the line, I want to say thank you all so much. Thank you all so much. If you are aware there is noise, there's a little bit of noise on the background. If you don't mind to mute your phone, that would be great. So we just want to thank you so much for your commitment and your faithfulness to this call of prayer and for your obedience on this altar. We were having a prayer meeting a few days ago, and in the middle of it, I was so overwhelmed by the love of God for the people, and the God was so pleased, and it was because they come every time just to wait upon the Lord. Just like this conference line. They come all the time just to wait upon the Lord every day, day in, day out, night and day. So when we were here, I was just overwhelmed. I just felt the heart of God, how pleased he is. And that's the same way I just want to tell you tonight. God is so pleased with you. And he just loves you and so delighted in you. Because you've taken your delight in him and in his purposes. Also, as I was sharing with them how pleased God was, there was something the Lord was showing me, and I just want to encourage you with this about appreciating people or being thankful. Paul used in Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church. And he was telling them about the different parts of the body. He says the hand cannot say has no need of the legs. The eye cannot say has no need of the nose. If the whole body was just the eyes, where is the ears? And if the whole the ears, then where is the eyes? And it was different parts of the body. So Paul was talking about the significance of how God tempered the body. And in this, he was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So he was, again, emphasizing the need for us to realize the mystery and the wisdom of God in how he has tempered the body. But if you take it more in the revelation of what he's saying, in terms of appreciation, you know, among everybody in the whole world, over 7 billion people right now, God said in us that he's the one that set the boundaries of our habitation. And he's the one that makes a way for us to find him. So could you just imagine the wisdom of God that in all the nations of the world, he chose you to be in America. He planted you here. And then in all the states of the nation, he planted you in the state where you are. And in all the people surrounding you, he has placed you around the people that are around you right now, the people that are close to you, the parents you have, the friends you have, the church you go. He has allowed us to be in that environment. And that's our body. That's our place. So he was sharing this thing about appreciating the people that God has put in your life, the people God has put around you, and the place where you are. To just really be thankful, because this is God. And the reason is tempered like the body, you know, the leg will not say, why did you put me there? And the hand will not say, why did you put me? The eye will not say, why did you put me in that part of the head? God put it that way. And that's how the sovereignty of God has placed us, like the book of us says, where we are, and by destiny has established us from the foundations of the earth to be divinely connected. And so for this, we need to be appreciative of each other, one another. And the moment we begin to thank and appreciate the people and the things God has aligned us to and what God is doing, we will begin to see more the wisdom of God behind that, you know, and the blessings. So I want to encourage you to take time during this Thanksgiving, you know, those you eat with and fellowship with, and just take a moment and just think your approach to appreciation, and just be grateful, and just let them know you're grateful. Let your husband, let your family, let every God has put these people in your life. Just be grateful and just thank them and love on them, and especially the ones that make you angry the most and mad at you, you know, and you know, pull out those things in you that you don't want to see. You know, we should be more even thankful for those people that help us see the need to find more grace in the presence of God. So I want to thank you so much that it's just a privilege that God has connected us. And I'm just so humbled that among all the people of the earth, that God has, in his wisdom, has put us all together. And for this, I just give God glory and thank you so much for who you are in the puzzle that God has made us to be for his kingdom. Amen. In line with this atmosphere of Thanksgiving, you know, there's a lot we could be sharing because of some things the Lord has allowed me to see during my time of prayer. But there are sometimes certain things, we are reminded of certain things, especially when the season, the atmosphere of the season provokes it. So I just want to share with you from the scriptures here today, the power of Thanksgiving. You know, the power of Thanksgiving. In scriptures. I will read from the book of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, I'll read from verse 2. And a great multitude followed him, that's Jesus, because they saw his miracles, the signs and wonders which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw this great company, multitude, come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to test him, to prove him. To test him. I just want you to take note of this. To test him. This is said to prove him, to test him. For he, that's Jesus himself, knew what he would do. God already knew what he's going to do. He already knows what is going to happen. He knows what he's going to do. But he says he just wants to test them. But this test was also a discipleship, meaning he wants to give them a key. He wants to show them something. When they begin to serve God, they will know that this key is available in the kingdom. So verse 7, Philip answered him and said, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a young man here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Verse 10. And Jesus says, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen this miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. Hallelujah. At this time in Jesus' ministry, he's discipling some people, because he knew he only has a short time in the earth. And he's training people that will carry this gospel forward, that will carry these mysteries of God, that will carry the kingdom of God into the earth. So he's training them, preparing them. And so they are seeing all these miracles, seeing all these things. But this time he just wanted to test them. And the testimony is he wants to teach them a lesson that will remain with them as long as they live. And they will use it to know these keys and these principles of the kingdom. So this multitude followed him up to the mountain with all these miracles happening like I just read. And while they were there, there were too many people. Other gospels we say, they asked them to let the people go because it was getting late. So Jesus then said to Philip, we're going to feed these people. And Philip said, we have 200 pennies, and that's, if we buy bread with it, it's not going to go anywhere. For this great company. So, first of all, there was an impossible situation, very impossible. Jesus wanted to paint that picture to them that the situation is impossible, but there is a need. Okay? And then, Jesus, it was written right here that God already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to teach them a lesson through this test. So he told them, what do they have? And this Andrew found out that it's a young boy that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the point was, what is 5 loaves and 2 fishes, according to their question? And 5 loaves and 2 fishes was what they have. That's what is available as long as in the area of food, because the need was food to feed the people. So they had food in that amount, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And he asked the people to sit down to count again, because he wants them to really recognize the fullness of this miracle. There were 5,000 men, and there were 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And this is excluding women and children. So it was an impossible situation. So Jesus says, we're going to feed them. So he, after they sat down, he did an amazing thing. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and he started thanking God for it. He started thanking his Father for it and gave thanks. And just gave thanks, you know. And then he started passing it on and a miracle started happening. And 5,000 men were fed and all the women and children, and there were left over 12 baskets full of food. The power of thanksgiving. There is a revelation that David had growing up, is worship, praise and worship. But this lifestyle this young man grew up was to go after the heart of God. But especially again, he discovered the secret of thanksgiving. For example, David said in Psalms 100, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever, and his truth endureth to all generations. And then later, after you know Jesus has gone, and the disciples are now walking in what God has called them to do, it's amazing to see here again Paul writing to the First Thessalonian church, and this was when the church was going through severe persecution. They were going through a very difficult moment, and then Paul wrote to them, and he says, especially after prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. So this is a praying church. These are people that are praying. It says, as long as you're a praying person, you've been praying, you've been seeking God, here is something he said that is very hard to receive. Verse 17, verse 18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me. That's very hard to receive. I mean, how do I thank God? It's easy to thank God for blessings, thank God for good things, thank God for, but now he's saying in everything, he didn't exclude anything. So what is Paul discovered about thanksgiving? Because again, you all remember the Bible says he was put in jail, he was beaten, and him and Silas, and at midnight they started worshiping God and thanking and praising God. So he leaped out this thing, and there was a miracle that took place there. The jail shook. So what is this thing that David discovered specifically in the area of praise and worship that he says it opens the gates of heaven and then brings you into the courts room of God with praise? What is this thing? So Jesus, in training this man that will carry the baton and establish the kingdom of God, the church, the foundation of the church, Jesus had to teach them this key of David, this key of worship. So we all know that, you know, if we get blessed, we get, you know, people bless us. It's not easy to thank God. It's easy to thank God. It's just easy to be happy, celebrate. But how do we translate this mystery, this key, into a miracle, into a place of thanksgiving? Let me use an illustration, because it's not easy. It's not really easy. But the moment you start tasting and start discovering the reality of this thing, it takes you to a different level of spiritual warfare. It takes you to another realm of finding rest, even when everything doesn't look good. So a good example, let's start with, I have 2 examples I want to show you really quickly about the power of praise and thanksgiving. You know, worship in the area of confronting obstacles, in dealing with us, that, and why Jesus gave this example, because God already knew what he would do. The first is in the book of Exodus, where God has already done so many miracles for the children of Israel in Egypt. So many plagues have taken place. So many things have happened. They've seen the power of God. Now they're out of Egypt. And now God spoke to Moses, clearly say, go this direction. Go towards this direction. You know, in Exodus 14, he says, the direction you're going right now, I want to tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to now get my glory over Pharaoh. I'm going to now deal with Pharaoh. So you go in that direction. Pharaoh will think you're stuck and he's going to come after you. And I'm going to get my glory through it. So Moses went that direction. And the natural man, the physical man that sees with the sees things in the natural, looked when they got to the end of where God told them to go. It was a dead end. We all know this story very well. It was a dead end. But the problem with that dead end was not just because it's a dead end. It incited Pharaoh. It provoked him to feel like, wow, these people have missed God. They missed their way. They should have, if God was leading them, they should not have been stuck by that place. So it makes the physical man begins to think a different kind of thought. And then it makes, as Pharaoh was coming, he made the children of Israel, about 3 million people, stuck there. Now, mind you, there was before them, there's a cloud by day and a fire by night. So there is something showing the presence of God in their midst. They ignored all that. They ignored all that big miraculous sign before them. They were looking at Pharaoh coming, and they were looking at a dead end. So they looked in the physical, and what they seen in the physical was terrifying to them, but God was there. The cloud was there, you know, as the angel was leading them with that. So they told Moses there were better graves in Egypt, you know, and we've told you it's better for us to have served these people as slaves than for us to die in this place. You know, they were provoked. So what happened? It was a test. It was a test. God already knew what he will do. And he already revealed it to Moses. But it was a test to show the people's heart. They've seen so much miracles already. But it was a test. So what is this test? Because you see later, after they crossed the Red Sea, God tested them again 10 times. And they continue to fail the test, except 2 people. And God says it's enough. So it was a test, just like Jesus said. Because before Jesus told them this, they've seen so many miracles already. So many miracles. So it was a test. So, and they were crying, looking in the natural, crying. So God, Moses was affected by this, and God came to the Lord and wanted to cry. And God said, no, this is not a time to pray. I've already spoken to you. Move forward. And then he says, lift up that staff that I've given to you. What is lifting up the staff? That staff that Moses, you know, that staff, I won't go into details, but you see that David also had a staff when he fought Goliath. You know, he had a staff that he carried with him and stuff. If you read the story there, when he was taking care of sheep, they carried that staff. In those days, those staffs were used to inscribe experiences or testimony or things you have. You inscribe it. You put it something to remind you. Or even if you don't inscribe on it, it reminds you. It is a memorial. It's something you carry almost like a staff of memory. So Moses remembered what God was saying. You know, you move forward and lift that thing up. When you lift it up, what does it remind you, Moses? It reminds you from the time you started doubting when I asked you to go to Egypt. What did I do? I asked you to put that staff on the ground. It turned to snake. It was a miraculous thing. Then I told you to pick it up again. It turned to a stick, a staff. And then I did all my signs around you. And I said, take this staff with you to Egypt. With this staff, you will do miracles. So Moses took it with him, and every time Aaron would speak on his behalf, they lift up that staff, and so they saw miracles upon miracles listed that staff has done. So basically God was saying, Moses, in this difficult moment, it is easy to look in the flesh and in the soulish realm and get in the flesh. Be discouraged, be overwhelmed. He says, at this point, Moses told them, you don't need to fight. This is not the time for you to fight. This is God's time. God has given you direction. God has told you what he's going to do. So anytime you don't want the battle to be yours, you don't want to take it upon yourself, he said, Moses, lift up the staff. In other words, lift up thanksgiving. Look at what God has done. Lift up that staff in praise. Remember where God has brought you from. Remember when you were initially afraid of Pharaoh. Look at where you brought. Pharaoh is not afraid of you. Look at how far you've come through. Lift up and remember, name the miracles, name the blessings, name what I've done, and go back to where I brought you. And begin to thank me for it. So when you look back, it is easy to begin to say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for this miracle. Thank you for that miracle. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. So before you know it, you have now entered into the gates of heaven. And as you begin to open, because see, there are gates in the spirit. And once you enter into that spiritual atmosphere, you now release angels to begin to work on your behalf. You not only release angels, but you have also positioned yourself to be in the spirit. You know, you're now in the presence of God. So Moses lifted up that thing and his mind was going through all these things. Faith rose up. So Moses was no more looking in the flesh. Moses was now walking by faith. Is now connected to the word of God, connected to the things of the spirit, connected to the testimony, connected to that staff. And as he moved forward in the face of a Red Sea, because he's now in the spirit, that thing just opened up before him. To the surprise of everybody, the sea just parted open and they went forward. And there was no need for me to mention this part, but it's so interesting that there are crises we face, that sometimes those crises are God actually in his wisdom allows it to push us into and through our miracles. For example, if Pharaoh did not come after the children of Israel because of their ways of thinking so much in the flesh, even if they saw the miracle, if Pharaoh didn't come and Moses says, God says, part the Red Sea. If they saw that Red Sea part, they would not even go through that thing. They will start questioning and reasoning, that thing will eat us. Can we go through it? How do you know we can pass through this Red Sea and then the thing will not come over? They will be questioning and reasoning, if this miracle is really real, are we going to die in the middle of the Red Sea? They will not cross over. So God allowed Pharaoh to force them. They were so afraid of Pharaoh, they went through that miracle without thinking. And then that thing swallowed. So sometimes God even allows our enemies for us to embrace our miracles faster. Anyway, so after that, they crossed the Red Sea. Now they started praising God. Now they started thanking God. Now they started praising and dancing. And that's one time the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, what they were supposed to do before the test is what they are doing after the miracle. Whenever you have seen a miracle, it's okay to thank God. It's okay to worship God. But that's now for the physical man. That's for the natural man. We rejoice, we thank God, we give him glory. But that's for the natural man, because we have seen. Anytime you see something, and you do it because of what you see, that's wonderful, you know. But Jesus told Thomas, he says, but blessed are those who obey before they see, you know. So God was testing them, but it's also introducing them to a mystery. If they had done like Moses, and before the Red Sea, if they had praised God before they crossed that Red Sea. When Pharaoh was coming, because of all the miracles, they said, okay, we know this is, we're in the middle of death now, we're going to be killed. But if God did all this miracle and he's the one that told you for us to go this direction, let's just begin to thank God. Let's, you know, join Moses, share the testimony, begin to celebrate. Who knows what would have happened? Who knows the kind of miracle or what God would have done extra? Let me give you an example with the second testimony. But before I share the second testimony, just to show you about why, when you are being led by the Spirit, cloud by day and fire by night, when you are being led and you know God is leading you, when you face obstacle and things we go through, is the testing, is a trying of our faith. James says, every trial we go through is for the purification of our faith, is the testing of our faith, that we can become matured in the things of God and be patient, waiting on the promises of God. Why? God spoke to them in Deuteronomy, says, I took you through these various wilderness to test you, to show you what is in your heart. In other words, God says, I wanted to see what is in your heart. But we know that God already knows the future. He knows them. So basically, they were being tested because God wanted to show them their heart. If they are really serious and if they really want to walk with God by faith. So he says, I took you through this process because I wanted to see what is in your heart. It was a test. The wilderness. So this other testimony to show you now that there is a place when we face insurmountable mountains and crises. There is a place that David described that if we really enter that place of thanksgiving, and Paul says, in all things, if we are able to find this place of thanksgiving and then enter into the courts of the Lord with praise in the midst of all things, not when everything is going good, certain things happen in the spirit that translate into the physical realm. And the best way, again, we can see this illustration where God really showed it in the physical realm very well was the life of Jehoshaphat. You all know the story. Jehoshaphat was confronted by three or four major fortresses of enemies against him, and they all combined together against Judah. So Jehoshaphat made it very clear from his the fear that came on him and the people that there is no way we can face this great army. And he made it clear the only hope now is our eyes upon the Lord. So he called for a fast. He called for prayer. In the middle of the fasting and prayer, as they gathered, the Lord spoke clearly and repeated the very words he gave to Moses when they were facing the Egyptians. He says, you will not fight in this battle, but I'm going to show you what you have to do so that you don't have to fight. Angels will fight your battles. I mean, he didn't say all this, but I'm just putting many scriptures in my mind to say that. So he says, you don't need to fight in this battle, but you're going to go to this battle with worship, with praise. You're going to line up everybody, and then they will go with worship and praise. I mean, my brothers and sisters, this is in the Bible. And it is impossible to imagine that there were people who experienced a word like this from the Lord and literally obeyed a word like that and then saw the miracle in obeying something so totally contrary to human nature. To go to an army you're already afraid of, an army that is already coming after you for your destruction, to face this army without weapon, limited in power, and just go because God says, worship me and put Judah first. You know, you all know the story. Before they got to the place where the army was, they did not know they've stepped into a place in the spirit. They've opened the gates of heaven. You remember when Jacob had a dream when he was running from Esau? He had a dream. He says he saw angels ascending and descending. And do you know what he called that place? Bethel. He says, this is the gate of heaven. angels come in, come to the earth and go to heaven, they were going to and fro. He says, this is the gate of heaven. That's what Jacob said. So he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You open the gates for things to start happening. So what happened? Before they got to the place, they didn't know that they've already lost angels. And angels went on their behalf. All they saw were dead men. The Bible says it took them 3 days to acquire the blessings that came out of the spoils that came out of that victory. You know, I'll be very transparent with you before we round up. I have read this Bible story for too long. And, you know, we've had little experiences here and there. So I just came to a place, I said, God, I think we have to come to a place where these stories, we have to believe them. If you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, we have to come to a place. We need to really start believing you. If you did those things, you have not changed. So I said, thank you for these Bible stories, but I want to taste. I want to have my own testimony. And you know, when you are really serious about things like that, then God will test you. You can never have miracles without problems that need a miracle. You can never overcome powerful enemy confrontation and see the hand of God mightily in, like these stories we read, if you're not confronted with situations like that. And you will never know that these stories are not stories. They are divine principles that work for those who apply them. You will never know these things they work until one, you face problems like that, and then you apply these principles by faith, determined for God to come true. So, of course, God is wise and he gives us wisdom. You're not going to start with something that will overwhelm you. So, like with David, he encountered the bear, the lion, and then he started growing. His faith started building up. He tested this thing. So, for example, God used certain things, different things in my life as I was seeking the Lord to test the reality of this. One time, it was a very big financial need. I think I've shared a testimony one time with you. And it was a financial need that I knew was a mountainous need because there was no way I could go to any man for it. I knew, and that need had to be met or else everything is just going to be a mess. You know, the problem was real, the need was real, and the catastrophe would be real if God doesn't come true. So I was praying, I prayed, I fasted, I've sought the Lord. So one day when the church just during praise and worship, I just heard this still small voice says, just go to the altar there and just worship, just kneel. And when you do that, have in mind, it's about that need. That you are surrendering it completely and you're now totally giving up to me and you're giving it through thanksgiving and through worship. So I went to the altar that morning and just lifted my hands and just started thanking God for the breakthrough, thanking God. And when I was thanking him, I was thanking him with one mindset. I will never worry about this need again. I will never bother you about this need again. I will just continue to thank you from now about this need. I worship you. I will not be praying about it. I was making decisions in my mind, but because I was saying, from now on, as far as this need is concerned, I'm just going to thank you and I'm just going to worship you. That's it, if I think about it. And that's what I did. That week, it was Sunday. On Wednesday, somebody came. They were woken up by night by the Lord. Woken up literally. The person was so nervous. He said, I couldn't wake up. I couldn't wait to come and see you. And the person came with all the money that I needed. I mean, it was a lot of money. He said, I was so afraid. I didn't want to write a check. I had to go to the bank, cash all this money. And but, I mean, it was one of the greatest shocking miracles I you know, even though I've seen. So when the person left, I fell on the floor. It was like Jesus was right there, because It was to me like parting the Red Sea. And that miracle forever did something to my heart. Just like that. So from that point, David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I now realize that the same God that does these things in the past still does it. So when I read stories, I say, God, could you imagine God bringing out 3 Hebrew children because they could not compromise out of a fire that literally will burn irons, melt irons, but the fire did not destroy even the clothes or the hair on their head. So when I read these stories, I said, is it not this same God that created the heavens, the earth, that does this? Is that not the kind of miracle we need for this generation? So that's the kind of way I seek God. Now, that's the kind of way, so what God does is, then he gives me big problems. So when I see these big problems, I say, very good. Okay, I need to put what I know into practice. And to my surprise, I start praising God. And then he opens the gates, he opens heaven. And what happens to you first is a peace that passeth all understanding. The presence of God. God begins to take over your mind, your heart, your soul. You don't see the problem anymore in the physical. All you now see is God bigger than the problem. And in that peace, God begin to say, now watch and watch me make a way when there's no way. And I've seen it now happening at different situations. And it's the same yesterday. He will still do the same today for the things we're facing, and he will continue to do it tomorrow. God gives us opportunity. I call it God giving us opportunity for miracles, positioning us for miracles. And that's what he did when Jesus says, I want to train you disciples. I want to position you for a miracle. So that in future, whenever you face crisis, don't see it as just crisis that will destroy you, but just see yourself like the Red Sea, like this mountainous problem, see yourself as being positioned as a candidate for miracle to experience God. But enter the gates of heaven in that situation with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. So at this season of thanksgiving, may we use this time to remind ourselves that there's a key that God has given to us. And we should use that key to open and lock, and use that key to experience dimensions of breakthroughs in our lives, because God is never changed. His word will never change, and his angels are ever ready. When we do our part, they will begin to do their part on our behalf, and God will always be glorified, and our testimonies will go from glory to glory. Thank you so much. I'm excited about this season, and this year we'll be sharing more, and I believe God is about to take you all to a new expectations and promotions, and I believe that your life will never be the same. God bless you. Have a wonderful time with you and your family. In Jesus' name, amen.